and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But I tell you, he looked at a lot of other people, the old scribes and Pharisees and windbag preachers and hypocrites. He said, you know why you're murmuring and grumbling? It's because you're not of my sheep. And you have not the love of God in you. That's what's wrong with you. God have mercy sakes. If we're like a lost sheep, the Lord will look us up. We've wandered through carelessness. We've just happened to wander out on these mountains and hills, and we forgot our resting place. See, that's what the devil tries to get a Christian to do, is forget your resting place. Isn't that one of the most... Oh, Lord. That's one of the most wonderful statements and promises Jesus Christ ever made in Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But you, how are you going to get that rest? Just saying I'm a Christian? No. He said, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is something that binds you, disciplines you, and holds you to a certain lifestyle. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, if you'll take the discipline and responsibility that Jesus Christ teaches and commands. We can be almost saved. We can come right into the congregation. We can be so close to God and yet be so far away. I want to show you this from one of the scriptures in the book of Proverbs. It's a beautiful book, as you know, and we rely a lot upon these scriptures. In the 5th chapter of Proverbs, I want to show you here how you can be almost saved and still be lost and be so close to God, like the rich young ruler and like the lawyer that came and asked him what was the great commandments and so forth. And he was close to the kingdom of God. In verse 13, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Right in church, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. And he's talking of here in verse 11, you'll mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. You can be right in the church, you can be among the church, you can be one of the church, and be rebellious, and be almost in all evil, right in the middle of the church and the assembly of saints. And God warns us about these things, that we can be right along with the people of God and still not have what God wants us to have in the respect of having that rest that Jesus Christ brings to us when we receive him as Lord and Master. Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 23, Jesus said unto a certain father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now that's some statement, isn't it? We can have all things if we believe. And the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's what we need to cry out to God and Christ for so many times. Lord, I do believe some, but I need you to help my unbelief, that part of me that don't believe. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked that foul spirit in the son of this father. And he said, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter in no more into him. The spirit cried out, and he came out. And then verse 28, the disciples asked him in the house privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And truly, that is one of the things that we have to incorporate into our lifestyle sooner or later. It's going to have to be fasting with prayer along the way for us to have that victory, even if we're in the church and in the assembly of the saints and the congregation of the believers. In the 8th chapter of Mark, while we're here right next door, the next chapter, beginning in verse 35. Jesus said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. It's not an easy thing to serve God. However, the Bible does assure us that the way of the transgressor is the hardest way. It's difficult to serve God. It is not a task of a wimp or a compromiser or some soothsayer or some speakeasy. Praise God, you got to be resolute. You've got to be dogmatic. You got to be uncompromising. Praise God, you can't be a compromiser and be apologetic about whatever God has told you to do. You had to do it chivalrously. Praise God, with courage enough that you know that God's going to exonerate you at the end. You're going to come out on top of the pile. Praise God, we've got to recognize it and understand it. In Titus, the third chapter, I want to show you here what the Lord says about us if we really want to serve God and be saved. Verse 3, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. All of us were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. See, that's sometimes. That's not supposed to be now. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not because we're so worthy or we're so important or we're so likely to succeed. The Lord can take the fellow on the bottom of the totem pole with the lowest IQ, with a less likelihood of being a success, of not having much in the way of personality or refinery of the arts of grace and all of that mess. The Lord can take the person, and if you'll submit ourselves to him, he'll do like he said, Peter, if you'll follow me, I'll make you to be a fisherman of men. Peter wasn't a fisherman of men. He was a fisherman with a net. But Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you what I want you to be. We have to be made. We're not self-made men. That's what they are in the business world. That's what they say about Sam Walton and Donald Trump and the Rockefellers and other in that great big caste system of the elite entrepreneurs in America. I'm an entrepreneur in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not a self-made man. It takes Jesus to make us into what he wants us to be. Then he says in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Sure wasn't because we were very good. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise God, which is in Christ Jesus, may I add. And ladies and gentlemen, to give you the last statement in the Bible about this grace wherein we stand, that we once were lost, but now we're saved, we're found, we were blind, but now we see. It's not by grace nor our righteousness, not by our grace, them old graces of life that we're so nice and all. It's by the grace of God. And one of the last, the last promise in the Bible is found in Revelation 22 and verse 17, or 16 and 17. It's still Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Here he is, the finisher. Listen to this. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Hey, these things got to be testified in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come to that person that's got sin in their life. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, still saying, let him come, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever wants to be saved, whosoever wants to get out of the stinking slave pits of the devil, whoever wants to go to heaven and miss hell, let him come and take the water of life freely. Praise God. Jesus stands ever ready to receive that penitent son, this backslid, or daughter, or husband, or wife, or mother, or father. He stands ever ready to receive that sinful man like Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree, hid in the branches. Jesus knows where we are, even if we're hid from the view of the public. He knows where we are. And as that chorus we sing once in a while, he was there all the time. He was there all the time, standing patiently in line. He was there all the time. My God, how wonderful it is that the Jesus has the servant, the Holy Ghost, that's out seeking to save that which was lost. The Holy Ghost to convict us, like the prodigal son, to make us come to ourselves. Hey, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I'm going to scream and cry for water forever and ever and ever. I can't stand it. I'm going to turn to Jesus. I'm going. I hear Jesus is coming my way. I'm going out and wait for that eternal life to come my way, and I'm going to throw myself at his feet and see what'll happen. Praise God. You do that, you'll always find mercy in the grace of God when you cast yourself at his feet. That's the only place he'll receive you, is at his feet. He ain't going to accept you coming in like a prince or a princess or a king on a God with his entourage and court to come in there and say, oh, he's worthy. Like old Naaman, send his servants over there. Find out if you'll heal me of the leprosy. The man of God said, no, get out of them camel humps. Get in the water. Repent. Humble your heart.